Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of 6, and today is it's a Monday. It's sweltering hot, especially if you find yourself in the capital. It's hot, like partly cloudy, but still hot like crazy. I know we like, you know, the expression we like to use is it's hot as hell, but I mean, we like to use that reference, but I mean, if it's really hot as hell, then we might as well just stop going to church, because hell is not that scary after all. It's just an expression, I know. Now, today's discussion is going to be based on nuclear energy, not nuclear energy as in the technical terms. We both know I don't have the technical know-how to basically explain anything technical about any type of science, let alone nuclear, because we are talking about energy literally on an atomic level. I mean, I don't understand people that understand that jargon. Now, if you ever see, like, the closest I've come to understanding the technical language of, you know, the technical language used in the nuclear field is the, by watching the TV show Chernobyl. It's based on the, is it in the 1989, Chernobyl, Ukraine disaster. That was, caused by, a reactor core cooling system failure because of, you know, the graphite, that plays a primary role in the, you know, in maintaining the fusion reaction, aka the bombardment of those atoms, were jammed on their way to being lowered to basically do their job. And, because they were not lowered, because some mechanism jammed, and the graphite that was supposed to cool the system down, was out of the equation. So the reaction got out of control, and everything went kaboom. So they had to evacuate the whole city. That's the problem about nuclear. Now, you know, they call it a disaster for a reason. To this day, it's not actually recommended to live there. There's still a place called the Elephant's Foot. This was like a ground zero for this fissionable material where it was. And the whole thing is just inaccessible to this day. And for those that understand the half-life lingo, this is like a half-life is basically a time period that it takes for like half the energy of that element to deplete. And when you're talking about uranium-235, it turns out it takes literally thousands of years. So that scary picture that I drew there is more often that and the Fukushima disaster, in Japan. We don't usually reference the 1945 Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but it also involved a lot of nuclear. But because that is a nuclear in on kaboom level, the nuclear we are going to talk about, we more often talk about in terms of the safe use of nuclear energy. It's the term safe use of nuclear energy is more often it's only used in a reference to generating energy, as in generating electricity, because there is no nuclear bomb safe use of nuclear energy. Like, there's nothing safe about a nuclear bomb, because that thing is just, is going to vaporize, and if flatten everything in, 2.5 kilometer radius, it's scary. So it's totally understandable why a lot of people are so anti-nuclear energy. This is why it took, it's safe to say decades. It took the International Atomic Energy Agency. This is the international body that basically regulates, of course, when it comes to international organization, when you hear the word regulate, what you have to put in mind is that, it only regulates, it only does the regulation to signatories of that organization. That's why you know, that's why the U.S. cannot actually be held accountable by, not in a way that it would Namibia by the International Criminal Court. Because, well, the U.S. is not a signatory to Rome Statute, which is more like the legal foundation that gives the court its je ne sais quoi. It's just a diplomatic, more like international relations jargon. But once you understand that, now, the coming back to the international Atomic Energy Agency, the guys that more like the International Atomic Agency is an organization. Is an international organization that that prioritizes everything energy and but particularly nuclear. Now that's the International Energy Agency. Those guys are interested in everything energy, from wind, solar, nuclear, hydro, blah blah blah. But the International Atomic Energy Agency only focus on nuclear energy. That's their baby. They just cuddle that uranium-235. Like, they need a room. Now, it took the International Atomic Energy Agency a very long time to sort of like convince the layman and, to help them to understand, both laymen and academic individuals alike, that nuclear energy is one of the forms of energy that is very reliable, that should not be left out of the clean energy transition as per the 2015 climate, Paris Agreement, 2015 Paris Agreements. You know, the whole agreement where they made a deal. Basically, a bunch of countries came together back in 2015, and they were like, by 2050, we must reach this level of energy transition from the non-renewable ones, aka your fossil fuel and stuff, to the renewable ones, like your hydro, wind and solar. Now, the thing is, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to actually, figure out the fact that, the new modes of energy that we want to transition into, aka wind and solar primarily, they're still in their development stage in terms of efficiency. They're still very much in their development stage, and they are based on elements we don't have control over. Take wind, for example. I don't care how much money you have. You can't really control how the wind blows or where, how fast and when. That's one thing. You can have, unless you are Joshua in the good book of Christians, you don't really control you can't control when the sun rises and when it sets. It just rises and sets on its own. That power is just left to Mother Nature. And you can totally understand because, seeing how people behave with a 9mm. You can only imagine, the chaos they would cause if you gave them power over the sun. So, really applaud God, evolution, Mother Nature, whatever you subscribe. I really don't have time for that right now. Now, let's talk about energy. So, for about a couple of years now, I think it's safe to say 5 or 10. A lot of countries, including recently, actually, by recent, I mean, I think it takes us back to 2019, 2020-ish, somewhere there. Namibia is one of those countries that have also shown interest in taking the direction of nuclear energy. Now, this is nuclear energy for just generating energy only. Now, there are actually a lot of problems. That, there are a lot of issues that gives nuclear energy its bad reputation. One is the obvious historical background, historical track record, like the Fukushima and the Chernobyl, Fukushima in Japan and Chernobyl in Ukraine. Now, of course, Chernobyl was built in the 1980s, and, by then Ukraine was part of the, then Soviet Russia. So, a disaster like that is obviously going to send chills down the spine of a lot of people, especially those ones that were directly impacted, like the people that were living inside, the nearby towns, who were just going about their life, and then the next day they were told, yeah, you are going to have to abandon your house, and leave everything that you have spent a lot of money building on. This was Soviet Russia. It was that easy. Now, they were not as capitalistic as, much of the Western world. So there was not a lot of property investment losses incurred, especially for a lot of individuals, obviously. You can only imagine if that happened in the world of capitalism. Boy, the chaos. But anyway, you just went to bed and then you woke up the next day. You were told to leave everything behind, especially everything fixed assets. You have to leave all that stuff behind and to a new location. Let's go. Now, the reason behind is actually for your own health. Because, again, if you have seen the TV show Chernobyl, the whole TV, one thing I find very informative about the whole thing when it comes to nuclear energy is that a large chunk of the TV show was shot in a courtroom where a scientist is explaining, in layman terms, breaking it down to, kindergarten gugu gaga level. Because we are talking about nuclear science. There are not a lot of people that can comprehend it. So you have to break it down. So the scientist then breaks it down slowly into very simple language, and that thing got me glued. Now I feel like one more mention of those guys, I'll have to send them an invoice, or marketing will send me one. The direction of nuclear energy. It's not just Namibia that's looking forward into that direction. A lot of countries have been looking into that direction. And let's start with a very simple question, which is the question that basically lays the foundation of today's home run discussion. And that's the question of can negative perception of nuclear power impact its rollout? I would say, short answer, yes. That's like saying, does your past play a role in your future, in how you are perceived in the future? There is something scary going on in South Africa. This is not scary militarily or, politically and all that. Scary socially. There's a casting agency called Africa Casting, and it is alleged, because at this point, TikTok has gone bananas over that subject. It turns out this is a casting agency where a lot of young women are now caught in between a rock and hard place of just a social scandal at this point, where a lot of young women are now caught in a scandal of having to explain to their, some of them, boyfriends, and I hope there are no husbands involved in there, because boy, having to explain why they did that. Now, the casting agency that calls itself Africa Casting, it's one of the allegations at least being made by most of the victims and a lot of the people that are siding with the women, is that this organization is supposed to be a modeling agency. It turns out, some victims are claiming that, that is actually not the case. The modeling part, maybe it's part of the, maybe it's part of what the, the casting agency does, but, behind closed doors, they do adult movies. Now there are a lot of South African young women with lives and relatives that are now, I'm told, they are all over Twitter right now. I have a Twitter account. I don't remember the X. I mean, X right now, right? I have an X account that I don't even remember the password at this point. I may as well just delete the whole thing. TikTok and YouTube for documentary guy. Now, the question then that arises from that is, what does that mean for the future of employment for those women? What does that mean for the future of intimate relationships, for example, for those women? Because you can imagine before they were casted, before you go to any Basically, before you work with anyone on a professional level, you sign a bunch of documents. And a lot of us just sign that stuff without reading through. And believe me, contracts are the biggest threats.
Contracts?
Yeah. Contracts are drafted by professionals. You have to understand that. And these guys are drafting this, you know, they are drafting this contract, siding with the company, buying a car, buying a house, whatever it is that you are buying, whether it's you're just a, you know, in a business venture. That's why if you are going to get into any legal agreement, even when you are getting married, get a lawyer, get a lawyer. If you think a lawyer is expensive now, you are going to find out how expensive divorce is. Because of those terms that are in that agreement you are not reading. Because, well, we're in love and we're feeling all the butterflies. Okay, fine. Go ahead. Now, that example, you know, that South African example detour that I went, into, can only imagine how many guys are going straight to Twitter right now. African cousin, relax. Huh? Relax. Right, just a little, you know, short humor, you know, short humor break now, shall we? Now, moving on. Nuclear energy is sort of like the same. It's sort of like basically have gotten itself this reputation that a lot of people have after the Chernobyl and Fukushima, I think, I believe, a lot of people have never actually thought that nuclear energy is safe to use. It's somewhat actually not very fair, because now we are using nuclear energy's past to judge its ability to be useful in the future. For some reason now I feel like I'm talking about me, but anyway, what we have here is it's somewhat the same thing that we basically face in our day-to-day interactions on a social level. Now, the people that use your past to judge you and your future, you can't blame them. That's totally understandable. Now, because not everyone is going to ignore your past and just focus on your future. No. People are individuals. They have their own point of view on everything. Some are going to forgive you when you wrong them. Some won't. Some will just hold grudge, and some will even start planning revenge. It's totally out of your control. Now, if I wronged someone to the point where they are about to go Robin Hood on me, I would keep my distance if I were you. Now, but the thing here is that, the unfair part is not the fact, you know, the unfair part that I'm talking about here is that it's not about most people using the past tragedies or disasters of nuclear energy to sort of like use it as an explanation as to why nuclear energy shouldn't be given, call it a second chance. That's a very fair judgment, if you ask me. The people that are looking at Fukushima and Chernobyl, and then using that as an example as to why nuclear energy should not be used ever again, that's totally understandable. But what's not totally, the problem is, if we are going to look at that, then we are going to have a lot of problems, because fossil fuel has one heck of a very dark track record. If what we are looking for is a source of energy without any dark track record that we are going to use. Okay. We are in for some serious problems. Because again, fossil fuel. Oil spills are a common thing, especially in open seas. Oil spills are a common thing. Oil vessel accidents happens all the time. And millions of liters of oil is spilled into the ocean, which kills marine life. And once it's all over, you can't really fossil fuel, that's just the direct pollution of fossil fuel. The indirect one is the garbage patch, which is because it's predominantly plastics, and plastics are made out of plastics are byproducts of fossil fuel. That's even before you get to air pollution. So now you see why we shouldn't judge nuclear energy by its past, because nuclear energy will be like, right, now that we have pointed out that I have a terrible past, therefore I shouldn't participate into the energy transition or clean energy transition as part of the energy mix. Let's talk about fossil fuel. Oh no, we don't have a lot of defense points in place. We don't. Now, in a few, actually, before we take a break and then I'll come back and give the South African example of before we, come home with the World Economic Forum and Dr. Mbwende's explanation over why we should actually look into the direction of nuclear energy generation as a country. That was him at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Which I was like, yeah, buddy, you're doing awesome. Keep going. Now, Fukushima was bad. And I think that, that facility was recently opened, I think about a week or two ago. The thing is, when there is an accident in an oil spill, it's easy to clean. But when there's an accident in a nuclear reactor, yeah, cleaning is not part of the option. Cleaning is out of the option. The only solution, again, back to Chernobyl, you're going to have to encase the entire thing in concrete. You can only imagine how much concrete you're going to need. And it requires specialized hazmat suits and professionals, most of whom are going to be in danger. Again, judging nuclear energy by its past, not judging you if that's what you're doing. But other forms of energy just have their own sort of like problems, which is why the discussion is a very interesting one to have on whether or not nuclear energy must be incorporated into the clean energy transition mix. So that you can, just reach those 2015 Paris Agreement goals, but the political, instability is not as in military confrontation. The political instabilities. The geopolitical instabilities. Let's take a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ileko Berewa, Vera Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Hatatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
Welcome back. So, when it comes to the discussion of the negative perception of nuclear power. I think negative perception is the wrong word I used there. I would say negative history everyone has two different types of histories. You know, you have a negative one and a positive one. And it's very easy, you know, some people that you'll meet will focus on the negative history and some people will focus on the positive history. And that's where the situation now where nuclear energy finds itself right now. Some individuals and organizations, especially environmental organizations, of course, environmental organizations, have a problem with all forms of energy, especially fossil fuel. I've seen activists stopping cars and gluing themselves to floors. That's mostly in Europe. In Africa, you glue yourself to a tide rod, you're going to sleep there. You're playing. Now, and then South African example. We're still on the question of can the negative history, can the negative history or perception of nuclear power impact its rollout? According to yours truly here, conclusion, I brought the best example closer to home. For those of you that know your African politics, especially Southern African politics, then you know that at some point South Africa actually wanted to work with the during the Zuma administration. South Africa wanted to work with Rosatom. That's the Russian energy company that specializes in nuclear energy. They wanted to work with them and build $79 billion. That's about $1 trillion. Rents. And it didn't really go very well because it is said that the discussion was still under classified terms, and then it was leaked by obviously some inside guys, ended up in the Russian environmental NGOs, and then found itself in South African NGOs, and then people just went bananas after that. And because of the legislative and the environmental and financial implications that came with that amount of money, that, $1 trillion? No. $1 trillion rents, and that's a lot of money. Now, it's actually understandable. That deal, it's not the best example, but I picked it because it's more close at home. So I'm going to share it with you anyway. So, can the negative perception of nuclear power impact its rollout, aka its implementation? The short answer is yes, and the long answer has a good example coming out of South Africa. Those are the writings of yours truly, Mwa. Now, moving on. A Russian environmental non-governmental organization called Eco Defense is said to have leaked a copy of the confidential nuclear power deal between South Africa and Russia in September of 2014. Now, the leaked copy landed in the hands of two South African activists, Makoma Lekalakala from Earth Life Africa. And Earth Life Africa is a South African environmental organization. And because Eco Defense is one of the oldest environmental NGOs in Russia. So NGOs are now communicating here between Russia and South Africa. This is during Zuma's administration. And the information being sent here is that they basically leaked a copy of that deal between Russia and South Africa. This is on a presidential level at this point. Now, the second South African activist who also got a copy of that deal was, you know, was a lady called Liz McDade, another South African activist with Southern African Faith Communities Environment Institute, SAFCEI, SAFCEI is an abbreviation for Southern African Faith Communities, Communities Environment Institute. Southern African Faith Communities Environment Institute. SAFC. Let's go with that, because the whole SAFCEI is just a mouthful for me. Now, SAFC, in their own words, is a multi-faith environmental justice organization that actively supports faith leaders, in other words, churches, and their communities to take action for a just and sustainable future. And this is in terms of energy. This was genius. You know, whoever came up with this SAFC organization, this was genius. They just decided to come up with an environmental protection NGO, and then they decided to incorporate the church guys in. Do you have any idea how powerful that organization is? If you want the organization to be strong, involving church guys, because as you can imagine, it's very easy to tell, as a pastor, it's very easy to tell your congregants to, you know, obey the environment because there's the creation of God, and touch it not, for thou shalt be touched by fire. You know, okay, that's just an over-dramatization on my part, but gonna make it more exciting, not just technicalities, yeah, make it boring. So, I do that so I don't, you know, send my listeners to sleep. I hope it works. Really, really, really hope it works. Now, these two ladies from these two organizations basically ended up winning some type of they fought that deal so much, like tooth and nail fought it, to the point where they won some type of they won the Goldman Environmental Prize. They won the Goldman Environmental Prize back in 2018 because of that. And the Goldman Environmental Prize is a prize awarded annually to grassroots environmental activities, in activists. Like, you know, you're still environmental, yeah, but you're still in kindergarten. So we're going to be with you shortly on a larger level to some degree. Yeah, basically, that's the translation of it. So, here's what's going on here. Were these ladies wrong to fight the deal? I don't know, and frankly, I don't care. What I find fascinating is that when it comes to, I'm looking at the influence they have. I'm looking at the influence they have. In other words, unless organizations like this are on your side, it's gonna be very tricky to push through ideas. Actually, now I totally understand why most, you know, countries like Russia and China don't have a lot of this, a lot of this organization, because the Western world, on the other hand, has a lot of these organizations. They are good in a way that you can, protect the environment, and they fight for people's rights, and a lot of them have this genuine fight and genuine human rights or civil rights or environmental protection in them. That's the good part. The negative part of having multiple organizations like this up and running all at once is that and the legislations that allows them to challenge government implemented projects is because projects then it takes very long to be implemented. I think it was John Stewart who was comparing the the transport system in terms of railway transport between the US and China. And he was looking at the same time period. They all started talking about building, you know, kilometers and kilometers, basically thousands and thousands of kilometers of railway routes connecting different towns for easy transport. Basically both cargo and passenger. And China, in about 10, 15 years, implemented 90 to 100% of their plans. And the US have implemented about what, like 5, 10% of their plans. They started making this, the plans at around the same time. But after 10, 15 years, China have implemented like 90% of their plans, 200% of them. Actually, they're still building, so let's go with 90, 95% of their plans. The US, on the other hand, they're still... Now, the reason, one of the reason behind that, is safe to assume, is that regulations. You have to jump through hoops to implement a project. You have to go through these authorities and that authorities and that legislation and these legislations and all these things basically consume time. Now, that's a good thing if you are, or if you live in a country that's always implementing evil plans, because it's very easy to, you know, it's very easy to delay and stop them. But if you are, this sometimes stands also in a way of, project that comes with more positive intent. Again, are they bad organizations? No, they're not. Actually, they are very helpful in preventing people from being taken advantage of. But as in everything else, they have their pros and cons. Now, here's the thing. Namibia is one of those countries. Let's wrap up the South African example, and then we can come back to... Then we can get to Namibia. So, the 76 billion, aka just about a trillion rand deal, had financial and political hurdles, but also had an environmental one that led to the project dying in its rudimentary stage. And on the negative perception or the bad track record. That's more often emphasized by the opposers of the implementation of nuclear energy into the energy mix or clean energy transition mix. One thing they like also, that's a very serious concern, that in 2020, the International Atomic Energy Agency compiled a Q&A on which, ahead of the International Atomic Energy Agency Scientific Forum on Nuclear Power and the Clean Energy Transition, which took place in 2020. They compiled a report, I think, somewhere around the 14th and the 15th of September 2020, but the discussion on the nuclear power and the clean energy and the clean energy transition took place from the 22nd to the 23rd. So it was just around the same month. So before the incorporation discussion of nuclear energy into the clean energy transition mix, before that forum took place, they had to clear the air. And I like how they did it. You wanna guess how? Oh. NGOs. Actually, in this case, NGO representatives. Environmental activists. They had to work with an environmental activist who I think, I don't mean to call her flip-flopper, but turns out for some reason she was fighting nuclear energy that is bad for the planet, and now she have changed it. Now she's fighting for nuclear energy that is good for the planet. According, you know, she studied the science and then changed her mind, which is understandable. You know, you must, in everything that you believe, you must leave room for improvement, or you must leave room for learning new things. You can't just say, you know, I was born in this party, I'll die in this party.
That's more often, you know, that's people in the political sphere. Every time I hear someone say, I was born in this party, I will die in this party, and look at them and look, if you are loaded, then I would say stay in that party. But if you are broke, I would say that sounds to me like, I was born poor and I'll die poor. Migrate. Our ancestors migrated, people. Our ancestors migrate. They migrated. If things are not working out on the portion of land you are, just move to another one that has grass. That doesn't apply in marriage. In marriage, we are told that you have to water your lawn and make sure that your grass is green. Because if you just go around and start, you know, enjoying sunbathing on other people's lawns, some lawn owners have, you know, shotguns, both male and female. So, I would say maybe, you know, that don't overstretch that migration thing. Yeah, certain circumstances it doesn't apply. Let's take a break. And then we'll come back to, you know, after that, we take a live read, and then we'll come back to that Q&A. And what is it that they were looking at? Then after that, we'll bring things home to the land of the brave freedom fight.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. Before I continue, live read. The University of Namibia informs students that online hostel registrations for 2026 opened on the 12th of January and will run until 27 February 2026. Only students who applied for residence and received official placement confirmation may register online. Access to hostel will not be granted without a proof of residence registration. Students placed on a waiting list may be considered if spaces become available. For assistance, students are advised to contact their respective residence offices. We continue with Homra. So, the International Atomic Energy Agency ahead of the 2020 nuclear power and the clean energy transition forum, a scientific forum by the International Atomic Energy Agency, they had their Q&A, and you know, sort of like that they put up on their website to sort of like still clear the air, because they knew that a lot of people will just show up with a negative point of view at the back of they will show up already made their mind. That's why before you get in any debate with someone, you first have to listen to them. Listen. Some people show up to a debate already made their mind. There are two types of people in a debate. There are those that argue to learn. Those are the ones that keep quiet and listen to your point of view. There are those that argue to win. Those are the people that don't give you a chance to speak. In other words, it's not that they don't know what you are saying is true. They are just not going to give you a chance to speak, because they know that, nothing you're going to, okay, first of all, they don't want to learn. That's why they are not listening. They don't want to learn. They are just there to argue so they can win. Not learn, win. I say people like that are the ones that are used, the ones that are best described in that, they are the ones that are referred to in that saying that, they say that if you play chess with a pigeon, it will, you know, playing chess with a pigeon is a complete waste of time because it will just knock over the you know, the pieces and then poop on the chessboard and then fly away to its flock and tell everyone that, you know what, basically fly back to its flock and claim victory. Did it follow the chess rules? No. Did it win? According to it, yeah. There's some people you will argue with. You can bring evidence that are as clear as daylight in the middle of a summer clear sky. They would still be like, no, I still don't believe you. Now, people like that, I would say, just agree with the idiot. Save your energy. What would you people do without my wonderful psychological wisdom? Now, back to energy, like the electrical energy. And there's electricity in our body, some of these examples. The Q&A from the IAEA was basically looking at one thing. Public opinion of nuclear and why it matters to the clean energy transition. Public opinion of nuclear energy and why it matters to the clean energy transition. Nuclear power has a major role to play in the clean energy transition, but for decades, its use has been divisive, has been a divisive topic among the public. Now, this is both laymen and academics alike. And then, just on the cover there, if you're just looking at that website, you see a very wonderful looking, lady of a Asian, you know, with the Asian features. She finds herself, I think, in the UK, but she, you know, she's, the parents migrated there from, you know, from India. She'd actually just stop doing. Look, she's a public figure, so I just read through the biography and all that. Now, nuclear power has a major role to play in clean clean energy transition, but for decades its use has been a divisive topic among the public. With the public opinion playing a major part in how the governments choose to produce energy. Addressing this long-standing debate will be a key part of sustainable clean energy transition. That's where Namibia finds themselves right now. Why? Let's put a pause on that now, shall we? As I'm just realizing my time is even flying. Now, the National Planning, the director of the National Planning Commission, when he's addressing the World Economic Forum audience in Davos, Switzerland, he did point out a few things about nuclear energy and Namibia's interest in that direction of energy transition. Dr. Mbwende said Namibia imports about 60% of its electricity from South Africa, while less than 60% of the population has access to power. Less than 60%. I mean, so we're looking at 40+% of people that are, you know, 40 plus or minus that don't have access to electricity. Now, and then he went on to point out that as the largest producer of uranium in Africa and the third largest in the world, we cannot shy away from the prospects of generating nuclear energy, especially when our raw materials are fueling nuclear energy plants around the world. Nuclear energy generation has become a serious option that we are pursuing vigorously. I like the English, believe me. To this end, we have developed a national strategy that covers the broader scope of nuclear industry. This is where we are now seeing the whole, this very cozy Russia-Namibia relationship. And it's also, it has a very significant nuclear energy presence or nuclear energy discussion to it. Now, one of the reasons why the Zuma, the South Africa-Russia nuclear deal, nuclear energy deal back in 2014. That was leaked back in 2014, and by 2018, it's just died natural death. Now, one of the reasons why that was such a, you know, a debatable subject in South Africa is, number one, the amount of money it was asking for. 70-something billion in US dollars, and just about a trillion rands. And a lot of people were like, where the heck do we even get that money? I'm pretty sure. Now, look, I'm actually not pretty sure. I think part of this is where my mind, again, mind now, you know, just, you know, slowly coming in. I think I totally understand why some South Africans didn't go with that idea. And because the guy that was trying to have the deal secretly, is the one that was saying 3,000 and 3,000 and, listen carefully, and 3,000. I was like, can you even pronounce that number of the amount of money that you want us to invest in this nuclear energy? Now, Zuma was the president. You can imagine, that deal involved a lot of, interested parties. It's just that a lot of, not interested parties at home here in South Africa did not like it by one bit. So, that is because it was found out or assumed because the whole thing is based on a leaked document. The project, the idea was to build a large-scale traditional nuclear power plant. You know, the one at the size of a village. But now there are a lot of alternatives to nuclear, some of them being modular, small modular reactors. Small modular reactors. For countries like Namibia, small modular reactors, I think, would be an excellent fit. But you really have to work on an upgrade because every form of energy that you are going to set up, you'll have to put upgrade in mind because those communities will expand. Otherwise, you are going to end up with a load shedding situation. That was Eskom. In 1929, Eskom was founded to provide electricity mostly to mines and the white minority. Fast forward to democratic dispensation back in 1994, they now forced that piece of infrastructure that was just made for a very small population of South Africa. Now let's connect everyone to it. So engineers started telling them as early as the 90s, and the scientists sounded the alarms in 1998, told them, guys, you're going to end up with a load shedding situation. No one listened until, when was that? Was that 2008? And load shedding started. That's when they ran to borrow money. So when you're building Eskom and South Africa's load shedding is an excellent example of why every time you are building a piece of infrastructure and of which energy infrastructure is not an exception, you have to put the expansion of that community in mind. So, building a large scale, more like a traditional nuclear power plant. That one is going to cost an arm and a leg. So, if you don't have that one, you're going to have to go with small modular. So, there are a lot of nuclear energy options out there today than there were 10, 20 years ago. Because you can imagine 10, 20 years ago, there were not a lot of people that were talking about modular reactors. Nope. Like a small modular? What the heck is that supposed to mean? But the technology has now advanced. And as you can imagine, the small modular reactors are affordable in comparison to their traditional nuclear power plant counterpart. Now, Namibia is already saying, we produce the uranium. Why can't we just generate the energy? I mean, we want to do this. You go, National Planning Commission Director. We got this. Do we? That's just me making, you know, fun of the National Planning Commission. But so those are the words of the director of the National Planning Commission in Davos, Switzerland. I really wish it. Like I say, if you hear that Helmut is representing you guys in Switzerland, oh, I'm just skiing. I'll just come back from there and y'all will wait for me at the airport with a press conference. So, Mr. Mahongo, what were you talking about? I'll link to my, you know, to my fellow trip guy that I was skiing with, and like, what were we supposed to do there again? Yeah, you know what? What we went to Switzerland for was very important, and we got some very important information, and we'll share that information with you once it's approved by the president. I think that's an excellent excuse. It's all fun and games until the president holds her own, you know, her own press conferences. That director, Mr. Mango, was lying. Ah, Your Excellency. Ah, come on. Nah, don't do me dirty like that. So, back to the Q&A of the International Energy Agency. To dive deeper into the topic of why public opinion matters a lot in terms of implementation of nuclear energy as part of the clean energy mix, which is part of the energy transition, you know, in response to climate change. The International Atomic Energy Agency, actually, in this discussion, they brought in a very wonderful name by the name of Zion Lights. I'm not making that up. I also, well, if you are laughing, then you're not alone. I'm just like, Zion Lights? That's a very nice name. For an Indian. Now, look, I don't mean to make fun of people, but this is one thing that I don't understand about a lot of Namibians. You are black, you are Namibian. How is your name Marcus Petrus? Really? You're not even white. What do you mean, Marcus Petrus? There's a Mkoya in there somewhere you are buried. There's an Angolo in there somewhere you don't want to mention. But no. Johannes James. How are you black and you are Johannes James? Am I judging? No. Okay, maybe a little bit. But I just don't get a black person whose name is Johannes James. Now, if you are Johannes James out there and you are black and you are listening, oh, seriously, man, be honest with us here. There's a name in there that you just you decided, you know, I'm not going to put this on my ID. We're not going to blame you. No, we're just, you know, play victim and blame. Well, colonialism, they brainwashed us, but some of us still kept Mahongo. See your life. So, Madam Zion Lights here is an environmental journalist and activist that has been on both sides of the nuclear equation. Now, that's the part where I was saying that, leave room for, you know, for improvement, because she was anti-nuclear and now she's pro-nuclear. That's why she was featured in this interview. Now, once a spokesperson for Extinction Rebellion, a global environmental movement critical of nuclear energy, Zion Lights is now the UK Director of Environmental Progress and Research and Policy Organization on Clean Power and Energy Justice for All. Now she is advocating for nuclear energy, you know, because she looked at the science and, oh boy. Let's take a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapungwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Ek went to, you know, drink some water. My throat was dry, clear, like a Namib, like Dune 7, dry, clear. Now, welcome back from that Afrikaans break. But before we continue, let's take another live read. Now, this one is for unemployed engineers, you know, the guys in STEM. So listen carefully. Public notice. Call for the registration of unemployed engineers, surveyors, architects, planners, and heavyweight equipment operators. The roads contractor company RCC invites unemployed qualified Namibians in the following fields to register and upload their documentation on the RCC portal. Eligible fields of qualifications / expertise: civil engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, quantity surveyors, heavy equipment operators, land surveyors, architects, town and regional planners. Note, this call is strictly eligible to Namibian citizens who are unemployed and possess the aforementioned qualifications / expertise. For inquiries, contact Ms. Lizette Kakumai, Human Capital Department. Tell 061-297-9000. 061-297-9000 or email lizette.kakumai@rcc.com.na. Closing date 31 March 2026. We have 20 minutes to the hour of 20 minutes to the hour of 6 that will mean in 20 minutes the end of Home Run, but and then we hand over to business and economic segment. So we have just about enough time to shoehorn in the, you know, a few information that I have. Pardon me, now just a hiccup kicking in and we just don't have time for a break again. Yes, I don't have time. Now, we're still with Ms. Zion Lights here talking to the International Atomic Energy Agency in preparation of the International Atomic Energy Agency scientific nuclear energy as part of the energy transition discussion that took place back in 2020. That year when we're all wearing face masks. One question she was asked was, you were not always in support of nuclear. What changed your mind? You know, when I read that question, I found it offensive at first. They would have gone with who changed your mind. What did they mean what? Because that would imply that, are you saying that I was paid? Because what would also imply money. Anyway, let's not assume. Now, what changed your mind? That was just my comedic mind getting in my way of trying to be serious. I really try to be serious, I swear. Believe me. I really try. And if you think this is annoying, someone, you know, out there, someone's daughter. Ah, poor girl. Now, I had So the question was, you were not always in support of nuclear, Ms. Lights. What changed your mind? I had many negative, this is her response. I've had many negative myths about how harmful nuclear waste and radiation are. In fact, the environmental movement, which I have been involved with for most of my life, most people simply believe these myths. Imagine someone after being a head of your organization. They change and they go and join another organization. They are saying stuff like that about your organization. They believe in that myth. Ha! World War III. But then she went on to point on something. But around 6 or 7 years ago, this is in 2020, put that in mind. But around 6 or 7 years ago, when I was a member of the Green Party and not pro-nuclear at the time, I attended a nuclear debate. I attended a nuclear debate where I tried to ask a question about nuclear, but my question was quickly shut down. I felt that something was amiss, so I spoke to an engineer, friend of mine about it, who sent me a scientific paper addressing one of the myths I had believed about the number of deaths caused by radiation from the Fukushima accident. Yeah, Japan, Fukushima. Why we started with that. Now, many believed that many had died due to radiation from the disaster. But the truth is none had. So it's based on unconfirmed information. Now, if you are going to read information about people dying at a nuclear facility, at any place, you may want to try to find legitimate sources of this information before you start preaching it. Turns out, well, she was just, preaching left, right, and center, and then turned around and called it myth. I find it interesting. But this is her point of view over why she changed it. First of all, I like the fact that she was open-minded. Even though she was heading an organization that was anti-nuclear energy, she attended an event that where a nuclear energy debate was taking place. As you can imagine, she went there with to a larger extent, I think it's safe to say, anti-nuclear energy point of view. She tried asking questions. She was shut down, but she was determined to learn more. She was determined to learn more. So she asked an engineer friend. So this whole time she had an engineer friend. Why she didn't ask this engineer friend to help him? Like, I don't understand this. But look, I am judging. Okay, not judging. Officially not judging. Let's leave it there. Now, this led me to dig deeper. Again, indicates the need to want to know more. This led me to dig deeper, and I found that many of the ideas about waste were unfounded, and that nuclear is actually a much safer option than fossil fuel. Ain't that the truth? Which many countries are still heavily reliant on. There's a whole brewing debate about fossil fuel, especially offshore drilling out there. A drilling platform is a multi-billion dollar piece of infrastructure. Some people will rent them. Some people with a behind load of money, just decide to build one from the scratch if it's economically viable. The problem is to decommission it. Also costs billions of dollars. It costs billions to build. It costs billions to decommission, like dismantle and take everything onshore for a good enough aquatic marine life. For a good enough marine life, aquatic marine, same WhatsApp group. Now, take our country, for example, land of the brave. Our offshore oil wells are being drilled about 250 to 270, put it somewhere between 270 to 300 kilometers offshore. That means if you are standing anywhere, take for example, if you find yourself in Valves or Swako, anywhere, that side, want you to face the sea. And if you have been to Tsumkwe, look at that distance from Grootfontein to Tsumkwe. That's how far those oil wells are. And once you reach there, you have to go about, is that 10 or 13 kilometer deep? I think about 10, 13 kilometer and another 10, 13 kilometer drilling into the earth to find, man, the amount of equipment and expertise required here is just mind numbing. So, here's the thing. Because of disasters like Chernobyl in Ukraine and Fukushima in Japan, a lot of people have been using this, mostly these two main events, especially the most recent one that a lot of people that are allergic to history are aware of. And that's, that's the Fukushima, in Japan. That turns out it's the name of the city, right? And also Chernobyl. Nice. So, because we only have like 12 minutes, I want to talk a little bit about, oil rigs. Yeah, just the first question here. Let's rewind back to one part of that, of the answer that, that she gave. This led me to dig deeper. An engineer friend sent her a source. Like a good friend will not teach you how to, we'll teach you how to fish instead of giving you fish. Now, this is a very good friend who was like, you want to know more about nuclear energy and, some of the debates that y'all are making out there and why it doesn't make sense. Here is a well-researched paper. You can read it. And some people will be like, no, please just tell me. I don't want to read. You will read. What's wrong with you? This led me to dig deeper and dig deeper she did. And then she found that many of the ideas about nuclear waste were unfounded and that nuclear is actually a much safer option than a fossil fuel, which many countries are still heavily reliant on. Now, that part of her answer, basically, sent me down a fossil fuel rabbit hole. So that's why I said earlier that if we are going to use the past of an energy source and only focus on its negative publicity, we are going to run out of energy sources. Why? Well, fossil fuel, one that we rely on directly as a source of energy and indirectly as an ingredient in a lot of things that we use. Everything plastic has everything plastic is made out of fossil fuel, has some degree of fossil fuel in it. In the world of fossil fuel drilling, there's something they call orphan wells, orphan as in, we call it Thiana when you lose both your parents type of orphan, or one or two of your parents, that's that orphan word, that's the orphan wells. Now, orphaned or abandoned wells are oil and gas wells that have been abandoned by fossil fuel extraction industries. Like I said, it cost a lot to set up these pieces of infrastructure, and it cost a lot to dismantle it after the natural resources had been exploited, finished, and clear. So for a lot of companies, they start the decommissioning process on paper. They basically decommission everything on paper. But in practice, they don't really do that. And as a result, this world, especially the international waters is scattered, is littered with still standing oil rigs, oil platforms. Now, two years ago, that subject surfaced in New York, and the The Guardian wrote an interesting piece, an interesting piece of it on some of the strategies that's used by, oil companies that do not want to spend billions of dollars to decommission these oil platforms. Like some of the work around they actually use to their advantage. Newsflash, it involves Arnold Schwarzenegger. Boy, did I laugh at that part. But, share, man of God, share. Okay, fine, I'll share. This is from 2023. So just a time frame to put in mind. I only have 7 minutes. Lord have mercy on my soul. Now, on a recent, you see, in every country that you go to, companies that set up a platform or piece of infrastructure to extract resources. And this is not just for offshore drilling. This is also true for mining industry, so basically everything that disturbs the earth's natural terrain form. After if you are going to disturb a piece of earth, when you are done, you are supposed to rehabilitate it in a way that, the poison that you were using to extract that resources, is not washed away by heavy rains and finds itself in drinking water. So you are supposed to rehabilitate it. Now, like I pointed out earlier, rehabilitating requires a lot of money. So, as you can imagine, a lot of companies try to find a money-saving technique where they decide to instead of rehabilitating this land, especially, this is now true for offshore oil platforms. In 2010, we are still in California. The then governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, began allowing oil companies to turn their platform into artificial reefs, aka just let it, just let Mother Nature take over. Let the fish turn it into a 5-star hotel type of thinking that Oga Arnold Schwarzenegger was going on here. At the same time, this is around the same time that the whole scandal of him, doing the babysitter on the side, and there was the whole thing was just, the wife found out, and you know how this whole thing goes. Now, in 2010, the then governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, began allowing oil companies to turn their platforms into artificial reefs. Think of it as a 5-star hotel, but for fish. Then they donate the money they are supposed to use to rehabilitate to dismantle the platform. And then they donate it to state conservations. To state conservation fund. Donate, you say. Huh. Interesting choice of words. So in other words, don't dismantle the platform. Just leave it there. And the money that you are supposed to use to dismantle it, what we are going to do is we are going to use that money to save the environment. Isn't dismantling the platform part of saving the environment? Arnold Schwarzenegger was not thinking, but homeboy was just thinking with his bank account at this point. Because that donation, every time I hear the word donation, I go like, well, I just can't prove it. Therefore, I'll just keep quiet. So, now, just how bad is this oil platforms thing? Here's the thing. In the Gulf of Mexico, where the rigs sit in much shallower waters, at least 573 platforms have been declared artificial reefs. In other words, they were supposed to be broken down, but they have not been broken down thanks to Oga Schwarzenegger. Just let it become another Titanic. Now, as you can imagine, environmental guys did not like this idea by one bit. They're like, are you kidding me? That's not a very good idea. So environmental groups don't see a win-win situation here. But Emily Hazelwood, a marine conservation biologist and offshore energy consultant, You are a marine conservation biologist and an offshore energy consultant. Which one of these two groups do you think have a behind load of money? Energy guys. So if you're consulting for the energy guys, you can't conserve the environment. And like, come on, seriously, the conflict of interest here is smelling, you know, sharper than KFC in mid-January. But not here to judge. Not here to judge. Only 2 minutes left. Now, environmental groups don't see a win. They cite the visual pollution of rigs and the ocean horizon and say that the plan lets fossil fuel companies escape paying for the end of life of their products. Some called the plan rigs to grief. Now, Linda Kropp, chief counsel of the non-profit environmental organization Defense Center, said the group had been involved in issues of rigs since 1996. Chevron was required to remove four platforms. The company did, but it left behind piles of junk on the ocean floor in the form of 20 feet tall toxic debris mountains. Big companies are about making profit, and they will do anything to cut costs. Case in point, Boeing and its 737 Max, Max model planes. That's the Ethiopian plane that crashed and killed a bunch of people. Was that 2019 to 2020? And also the Malaysian Lion Air. They were both, again, for the millionth time, both 737 Max planes. What did the air crash investigators find? The plan, those poor pilots did not make, it wasn't their fault they died. It was a manufacturing flaw of the plane model by Boeing. Engineers were like, it was not our fault. Management was cutting costs so much, we could barely afford high quality equipment. And how did management end up there? Because, the government that was supposed to be regulating them literally gave them a green light to regulate themselves. Like, that's like telling your kids to raise themselves. They're gonna be like, hallelujah. Imagine my boss calling me and telling me, no, you know what? Don't worry about home run on Sunday 11 to 1 or, don't worry about mind the gap, Sunday 11 to 1 or home run, 4:30 to 6. Just show up to work whenever you want. Oh, I'll be getting paid at home. Just chilling then eating. There's a reason why regulations are put in place. Boeing was given a green light to regulate themselves and people literally died because of that terrible decision. Shareholders wanted to fatten their already fat profits and, shareholder dividends. They were still cutting costs like crazy. So very questionable materials were used to build their planes and they ended up crashing, literally killing people. Now, when you live in a world where people love money so much, they don't care if over 200 people plummet from the sky to their death. You can't really trust them with a process like this. But then again, they're the one with the money to extract the resources. So every government at this point is going, I mean, we know you guys have a very terrible reputation when it comes to decommissioning these things. But, we don't have the money or the expertise to extract the resources ourselves, so, okay, fine, you can just come and do it. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. 2 minutes into the time of business and economic segment, that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. A recap. People's perception of nuclear energy is somewhat very negative, and the negativity they base this perception on is more often based on a genuine nuclear energy concern, like the nuclear disaster, power plant disaster that took place in Fukushima, Japan, and the Chernobyl disaster that took place in then Soviet Russia, now Ukraine. And these are genuine, you know, track record with regards to nuclear energy. But then there is not a single form of energy that does not have its pros and cons. If you are going to find a very holy and pure one, it's going to take a while. Hydro, maybe, wind, maybe, but the one that we are still highly reliant on, which is fossil fuel, oh boy. Rigs alone and oil spills makes for one heck of a discussion. And now, apart from the genuine historical concern of nuclear energy, a lot of people base their understanding of nuclear energy's application on theories they haven't confirmed. There is someone that have been an environmental activist her whole life, Zion Lights, who just woke up one day and decided, you know what? I'm gonna look for more information on this subject. She dug for more information and found out that actually nuclear energy is not that bad. All right, let's take a break. Come on the other side, sign off, hand over to Business and Economic Segment guys, and we call it a day.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa.
Welcome back, and brings us to the end of the nuclear energy perception discussion, or more like a public opinion. It's a genuine concern that the International Atomic Energy International Atomic Energy Agency has been addressing, and they are aware of. They have been aware of for a while now that much of the negative perception with regards to nuclear energy that they face is more often is coming out of the non-governmental environmental agency guys. But read up on the subject before you start making decisions. That brings us to the end of Home Run for today. I leave in the hands of Business and Economic Segment. Y'all have a good one. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on Eagle FM.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.